I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy New Year.
Oh my God, that's right. This is our first episode of the new year.
Well, it would have been.
Technically, it should be.
Yeah, that was my bad.
You know what? You got too caught up in the new year. What are you going to do?
That's all right.
No one noticed, I'm sure.
That's fine. Sorry about that. But
yeah, one late episode, it's fine.
Yeah.
Can I say it real quick? We talked for like an hour before we started recording, so I should have mentioned this then. But I got this shirt. It's like a striped blue and white shirt for anybody who's just listening to this. Anyways, it's actually a PJ set. But I got it because I was like, oh, how cute. No, I look like the fucking hamburger. Like, I don't know why. I thought, no, if you saw full body, it's matching shorts. Like, I look like, I look like Waldo's little sister.
Why you turn off your camera to go do your light earlier?
Oh, no, I just always turn it off.
Oh.
I don't know.
I just imagined you weren't wearing any pants at all, so.
That would make more sense. I'm not entirely sure that they're not, like, a little see-through, because, again, they're just, like, lightweight pajamas.
Yeah.
I don't want you to get a full view of my granny panties through the shorts. Anyways,
indeed. We're here to talk about Nosferatu.
Yes.
But first.
Not news.
Last week we talked about all the movies that are coming out in January.
Mm-hmm.
This week we're going to talk about all the movies that we're looking forward to in 2025.
Hell yeah.
And I'm going first?
Yeah, you're going first.
Okay. I've got 7 on my list. I mean, there's more. I pared it down a little.
Yeah.
But these are the top 7 that we know of. Because I'm sure there'll be a few announced.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, starting off strong with Quiet Place Part 3, which is still sort of like up in the air.
Yeah.
It's the continuation of the original storyline, not a continuation of Quiet Place Day 1, which is the spinoff.
Right.
Which would be interesting because those kids are grown.
Yeah.
So we'll see how they do that, if they do it.
Yeah, interesting.
Death of a Unicorn, we talked about because we just got the trailer of that. It's an upcoming A24 horror comedy with Jenna Ortega, Taya Leone, and Paul Rudd. Looks nice. I mean, I tried to stay away from the trailer, so I don't know if it looks funny or not, but the unicorn looks interesting. Could be a slapper.
Mm-hmm.
Him.
Yep.
I'm just like kind of desperate for a good sports horror movie. We got Night Swim last January and that was terrible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Then we've got The Ritual, which is based on true events and is supposedly is an authentic portrayal of Emma Schmidt, whose exorcism remains to this day the most thoroughly documented and studied in American history. Mm. It's got Al Pacino in it, which he hasn't done much recently other than, I think is he the one that had the Shrek case, phone case, Al Pacino?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm obsessed. If you could tell me more, please.
some older actor, director, I think it was Al Pacino, has a Shrek phone case courtesy of his granddaughter or something. Anyway,
okay.
He's in it. Dan Stevens is in it. And then Ashley Green from Twilight is in it, who plays Alice.
Incredible.
And Patricia Heaton from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, it's a fun little cast. Ensemble.
All right.
3 more I'm looking forward to. We have an untitled Anaconda film starring Jack Black and Paul Rudd. See, I don't even like Paul Rudd, but he's in two movies that I'm looking forward to. So maybe I do like him a little bit, subconsciously.
Why do you not like Paul Rudd?
I think it's his face.
Interesting. That's what a lot of people do like about him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just not for me. Fair. I do like that meme of him where he's like, look at us.
Yeah, on Hot Ones. Who'd have thought?
Yeah, I like that one.
Nice.
Maybe I do like him. Maybe I just say that. I don't know. Anyway, two more. Vicious, which is Brian Bertino. He's Strangers, the original Strangers. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that one because it's starring Dakota Fanning. And we also got a subpar 2024 horror film from her, Watchers. so hopefully she can make up for it with this new movie, Vicious.
Yeah.
And last, I just threw this one in. It's called Night of the Zoopocalypse.
Incredible.
It's a PG animated kids and family horror comedy about a meteor that crashes into a zoo and turns all the animals into zombies.
Interesting.
Isn't that cute?
It is. There is a movie called Zoombies about zoo zombies.
I wonder if they're related or if this is just a total ripoff.
I think it's probably just the same concept, different direction is what it sounds like.
Cute. But yeah, I thought that one was fun. That comes out in March.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Me too.
So you had a lot of originals on there.
Yeah.
I was finding mainly like, not finding, but I guess I was more excited about some of the ones that were not original ideas.
Yeah, I had one on my list that I was going to talk about, but I knew you would, so I didn't talk about it.
Oh. You're allowed to be excited for the same movie that I am excited about.
Oh, okay, well, I'm excited for 28 Weeks Later.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah, I just want it because it could be good because sound quality has really improved over the last 20 years. So.
Yeah. I'm excited because it means I'm going to force you to watch 28 Weeks Later, too.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, there's another one.
Well, what movies are you excited about for 2025?
I broke mine down into different categories. So some of the franchises that I'm looking forward to continuing, 28 years later, obviously, the first trailer that we got, very well done. That's exactly how you do a horror trailer without spoiling anything. And I've had that like boats thing stuck in my head since. So, and then we're also supposed to be getting Final Destination Bloodlines. We haven't gotten a Final Destination movie in like 14 years or something like that. Like a crazy long time it's been. So I am excited for that because I am a slut for Final Destination movies.
Okay.
And then of course, Saw 11. Hello. I don't even know why I like that series so much, but I do. And Saw 10, very good. So if that's any, I'm kind of hoping that they continue the story that was presented there. But yeah, I guess we'll see. And then in like remake reboot territory, Wolfman, I love Lee Whannell. So I'm trying not to get my hopes up because it's a Blumhouse and it's in January, which just spells trouble for me. But I'm really hoping this redeems them and I'm wrong. Please let me be wrong. No. I refuse. That and then The Bride with Maggie Gyllenhaal about Frankenstein's Bride. I'm excited for that adaptation as well.
Is she directing it too? Or did I make that
up? I don't think so. I think she's just in it.
Okay.
I can look it up. Oh my god, you're right. It is. Written, directed, and produced by Maggie Gyllenhaal.
That was like my...
Oh my god, she's not even in it. Never mind. I'm an idiot.
Oh, okay. I don't have a photographic memory, but I did remember seeing two columns. One column director, one column actors. And I remember seeing The Bride and her being in the left column. I just didn't remember if that was like, oh, she's starring or if it was director or what. But.
Yeah. Nice. That's exciting, though. So yeah, that's like one of two Frankenstein movies we're getting this year. And I'm more excited for that one. Jacob Elordi as Frankenstein. I don't really care about that. That seems not like a. I don't know. I don't like that casting. I want a weird little freak to play Frankenstein. You know what
I
mean?
He is a weird little freak.
He's too attractive.
Makeup can do a lot of things.
Yeah, so we're about to talk about in this movie. Okay. But anyways, those are the two like reboots, I guess, of classic Universal monsters, which we're seeing kind of a. Awakening of that, which is could be exciting.
Yeah, brother.
And then two adaptations from books that I'm excited for. The Monkey, obviously. That's coming out in February. Based on a Stephen King novella, short story? One of the two.
Something shorter than a book.
Yeah, and then I'm also excited for Netflix's Fear Street Prom Queen, because I liked the first Fear Streets. Those were fun. That's based off of an R.L. Stein series, so I'm excited for those. And then finally, my originals that I'm excited for. Mm-hmm. You already touched on it, but Death of a Unicorn looks interesting. It looks weird. Yeah. It looks funny. It's A24. It's probably going to be right up my alley. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also looking forward to Companion, which comes out this month.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that
one. Yeah, Jack Quaid and Sophie Thatcher are in that. And it just looks interesting. They haven't really, like, they've given us enough in the trailer, but not enough for me to understand, like, what's happening. And I like that.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. So I'm excited about that one. And then finally, I'm excited for Ryan Coogler's doing a horror film called Sinners, starring Michael B. Jordan. Yeah.
Hello.
I know. And that is a little short summary. Trying to leave their troubled lives behind, twin brothers return to their hometown to start again, only to discover that an even greater evil is waiting to welcome them back.
Oh.
It's supposed to take place in, like, the Jim Crow era, so I think there's going to be, like, some elements to that as well. But it looks really interesting. There's already a trailer out for it, and it looks good, so.
It sounds paranormal.
I'm interested in it.
You don't even like paranormal.
I can like paranormal.
Yet to be seen.
But I have said nice things about paranormal movies before.
Name one nice thing. Say one nice thing about a paranormal movie right now.
I loved Oddity last year, and okay, you can't even deny that. So
yeah, that was, oh shit. I forgot about that movie. That movie.
Yeah,
really
fuck
good.
You. Fuck you.
Yeah, that movie was great. I'm so sad I didn't do an episode on it.
I know. Because I didn't really like know anything about it. I had just seen previews before I went to see other movies that we were supposed to see. But nobody really talked about it that much. But I'm kind of hoping for that again this year. I think every year we get that with horror, where just a movie kind of drops out of the blue that you had no idea what it was about, or like no really promotion at all. And you're like, wait, this movie kind of slaps.
Yeah. That happened to me with an anime that we started watching last night.
Yeah, I saw that you started watching that last night. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. I thought you were watching Buffy.
Well, Dylan wanted to watch something with me.
Mm.
I watch Buffy,
he can't watch Buffy.
My own time. Buffy's my Cassidy time. Yes. Is my Dylan time.
Oh, I hate that you have Dylan time.
Well, see, the thing is.
Regretfully, you're married.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of it, but.
Just kidding. Love you, Dylan.
Yeah.
I guess.
Whatever. I hope he doesn't listen to this episode, because I'm going to talk about him. If the time comes, which it will.
Oh, great. I can't wait. Well, should we get into Nosferatu?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. I will give a summary, because that's my job.
I was hoping you'd remember. Yeah.
Yes. In the 1830s, estate agent Thomas Hutter travels to Transylvania for a fateful meeting with Count Orlok, a prospective client. In his absence, Hutter's new bride, Ellen, is left under the care of their friends, Friedrich and Anna Harding. Plagued by horrific visions and an increasing sense of dread, Ellen soon encounters an evil force that's far beyond her control. And spoiler alert, that force is Count Orlok. That's from Google. Most of that I added a little flair. This is Robert Eggers' adaptation of both Nosferatu, A Symphony of Horror from 1922, and the original Dracula novel from the 1890s. It stars Lily Rose Depp, Nicholas Holt, Willem Dafoe, Emma Corrin, Ralph Ineson, and Bill Skarsgård as the titular and titillating Count Orlok. It had an insane $50 million budget. And since its release on Christmas Day 2024, literally 2 weeks ago, it has already made back $56.2 million. This is Eggers' lowest rated film by critics, but his highest by audiences. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has an 87% critic score and 75% audience score, and has a very solid 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
Nice.
Yeah. I was not surprised to hear. This film is a little more catered to horror fans than maybe some of his other films have been, I would say, but.
Yeah, I think it also maybe has it working against it that it's an adaptation of something else.
Yeah.
Like the other horror movies that he's done were original work, so there was nothing really to compare them to. Whereas this one, I feel like there's always going to be those purists who are like, this isn't the original.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
There were a lot of, I mean, since we're talking about it, there were a lot of shot for shot scenes in this from the movie from the 20s.
Yeah. Like, he stays very faithful to the story.
Yes. Yes. Which I almost wish he had done something a little bit. Something. Shut the fuck up.
Because that's what I said.
I was going to say it, and then you said it first.
Yeah, well, proof.
But,
proof is in the pudding.
But, I think he did enough to still make it a good adaptation.
Yeah.
It's you know, faithful to the original, and all of the, you know, stands of the why silent films are, why there are stands, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, they can be happy with it, and then all of the new fans can be happy with it, too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was going to get into this later, but I guess since we're talking about it now, that was kind of my biggest issue with the movie. And not to take anything away from it, I still really liked this movie. But yeah, I wish he had put more of himself into it. I am sure that there's people who really loved how faithful the adaptation was. But I wanted him to, like, keep the heart of it, but then just do a little bit more, right? Because I think the changes that he did make were very, very good. And the changes that he made, like centering it about Ellen, making her call out to him at first, expanding the role of the Hardings, all of that, these additions that he did or expansions that he did were where I've seen the most interesting discussions happening.
Yeah.
Like, those are the changes that actually created a conversation around this movie, whereas, like, the rest of it was just like, yeah, that's Nosferatu. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm like, man, I wish he just would have, like, done The Fly with this. You know what I mean? Like, The Fly is, like, such a good remake. Maybe the best horror remake, because they kept the heart, but changed things, modernized it, made it different, made it interesting, created a new conversation, while also pushing the limits of effects and gore and, honestly, sexuality. Like, all of the things that he did, they did in that movie, but, like, more. I wanted more.
I totally agree with, like, the modernization of The Fly. That really worked. Mm-hmm. This one, I don't know that, like, and I know this isn't exactly what you meant, but, like, had they modernized the story at all, it wouldn't have been as impactful for me, at least. I don't know what it is about.
Yeah, you love you some period clothing.
Holy shit. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I don't think that aspect was needed. I think that works a little bit better in a sci-fi world. Like, that, I do think modernizing it works. This one, that's fine. Do a period piece. It's Eggers. I expect it. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think with Ellen's character, like, being at the forefront, the fact that she calls out to him, the fact that she's struggling so much with this decision and this, like, very clear lust between the two characters, I think that that was just a perfect example of, like, changing the narrative of the film. Because now we're talking about female sexuality and the societal pressure is to suppress that and be ashamed of that, the shame surrounding it. Mm-hmm. And that's so much more interesting than just a vampire, you know what I mean? Yes. So I'm like, please do more of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But still very good. Still liked it.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I had not seen the original when I watched this movie, and I didn't look up much about the plot or the cast or, like, who was playing who. I knew Bill Skarsgård was playing Nosferatu, but I didn't make the connection that Count Orlok and Nosferatu were the same person.
Oh!
That, I didn't make that connection. So when I'm first looking at it and, like, this Orlok character comes onto this, to the scene, I was like, who the fuck is that? Like, I know Willem Dafoe is in this, I know Nicholas Holt's in this, but, like, who is that that's playing just totally unrecognizable as a human being?
I didn't even think about that as someone who, like, maybe is not familiar with the story coming into it and not knowing that. Because I think I went into watching the original knowing that already.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really funny. I didn't.
It took me a minute. But, like, all that to say, like, there is not a whiff of Bill Skarsgård in that character at all. He is complete. I mean, maybe a little bit of the – he's got a little bit of the, like, Pennywise forehead going on. But
– the boy's got a noggin.
He does, yeah. And we love every part of it.
Yeah, I mean that literally with all the love in the world.
Yeah, yeah. But he's just totally unrecognizable and fucking terrifying and hot.
Yeah. I think if someone said, watch this movie, it's Nosferatu, and I had no idea who was in the cast at all, and at the end you were like, who played Count Orlok? I would not know that it was him. Yeah. Maybe I could take a wild guess, but I would not be sure.
Yeah.
It was very good.
It was very good. Yes. He was incredible with that.
Yeah.
I was watching a lot of the TikTok interviews. That's where I got most of my fun facts. It took 3 hours to just do hands and head alone.
Yikes.
For all the prosthetics, and 6 hours to do the full body. And when I say full body, it was fucking full body. That he said the only part of him that was not covered in paint and prosthetics was the soles of his feet.
Yeah.
Even his palms, his wiener was a prosthetic.
Yeah, you do see a prosthetic penis.
You see, oh my God. That?
Can I also say, there was a whole TikTok about someone, I wish I would have saved it because I wish I could, like, link it or something. I think I, like, it refreshed and I missed it. But there was a creator basically talking about how she was, like, everybody's talking about his penis. And I went to see the movie and I'm like, that's it? Like,
yeah.
She's like, it's 1 second and it's so small. And someone just commented, like, my boy is dehydrated. Like, give him a second.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard at that.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, all prosthetics. He did say in one interview, Bill, we're on a first name basis, in my dreams, and he said that the finger pieces were the only part that were, like, really easy to take off.
Yes.
So that he could use the restroom.
He could wipe his butt.
Yeah, specifically he said, so I can wipe my own ass, but I was gonna keep it family friendly for some reason. He said,
oh yeah, family friendly.
105 episodes in, we're deciding now.
Now.
We're a clean, family-friendly show.
Yeah. No. Yeah, he just kind of slid those off to wipe his booty.
Yeah.
Speaking of the penis prosthetic, though, yeah, Nicholas Hoult has that framed in his home.
Yeah, you can see it on his Instagram.
Yes. It's
Eggers gave it to him.
Yeah. I mean, he was the one who had to be, you know, up close and personal with it.
Yeah. Did you see the interview where they were talking about it? Well, I think Nicholas Hoult was talking about it. Because, yeah, he said that after the scene was done where Count Orlok is on top of him, like, gyrating and sucking his blood, mm-hmm. he said Eggers went up to Nicholas Hoult and said, how is that for you? And he said, I could feel his prosthetic penis on my leg, and that's why he gave him.
Oh, no.
Well, he said it very, like, in a lighthearted tone. So it felt like they had that relationship where that was
good.
Not an inappropriate thing to
good.
Have happened. I'm also like, why didn't they give him, like, a little thong or something? Like, why did he have to have his prosthetic penis out for that scene? Because we didn't see it. He's
well, they're
bent
not
over.
Take it off. They probably did all the full body makeup in the same day of shooting.
I guess. Give him a little loincloth or something.
Yeah.
Poor Nicholas Hoult.
Yeah. Poor Bill Skarsgård. Bearing it all like that.
It's not his.
Still. Where is his, do you think? Well, we don't gotta talk about it. But I'm assuming he's wearing
underwear under the piece.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be my guess.
Yeah. Between you and me, I just this morning watched that scene again.
Mm,
not even this morning, like literally an hour ago. And just curious, like where is his if that's a prosthetic?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, not a whiff of Bill Skarsgård left underneath that costume.
Yeah, you know what I'm, you know, maybe we'll talk about this when that episode comes. But there's another horror movie that Willem Dafoe is in where he, there's a sex scene that like shows penetration, basically.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's Lars von Trier. He directed like the Nymphomaniac series. Like he, yeah. Anyways, we'll get to it one day. But anyways, he was wearing a prosthetic piece for it because Willem Dafoe's penis was too big that it was distracting. And they were like, you're just a guy. Like, you can't have that thing. And that's more where I'm like, where was it then?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe they did like a stand-in or something. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, body double kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, another thing that Bill Skarsgård said about being in his head-to-toe prosthetics is he was in the sarcophagus and he wears contacts, like white contacts that he couldn't see through. So he's blind. He's covering all this makeup. He has lugging around all these prosthetics. He's laying in the sarcophagus and it's complete pitch black. And he had like 8 rats on him and maggots, live maggots all over his body. And one of the rats started chewing on his eyebrows. So supposedly there's a cut of the film somewhere that has Count Orlok surprised, oh my god, a rat is eating my eyebrow face. That's not what made it to the film, though.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was the scene that I just rewatched. It was discovering the sarcophagus, opening the sarcophagus, and then standing.
Right. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also it has a very affected voice in this.
He does.
I guess he worked for like 6 weeks on trying to get that to just naturally come out of him. He worked with an opera coach to try to get that lower register going because it's a very deep voice in the film. Mm-hmm. He also said that during the table read, he was so excited to like do his voice, right? But Ralph Ineson speaks before him in the script. And he said as soon as Ineson started talking, he was like, oh, fuck. Because he just has such a naturally deep, gravelly voice. And he was like, oh, man, he doesn't even have to try.
Aw, poor Bill.
Yeah. In other news, though, if Ralph Ineson could do audiobooks or something, I would like to listen to it.
I think he does.
Does he?
I think so.
I don't know why I even asked because I don't listen to audiobooks, but maybe I'll start.
Yeah, you should.
I know I can't because I get too distracted.
Oh, yeah. It's like a driving thing.
Yeah, I use noise a lot as like white noise almost,
mm-hmm.
which is why I rewatch things a lot
yeah.
or watch things that I don't have to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't really commute anymore, so I don't have time to listen to audiobooks or podcasts, which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, indeed. Should we talk? Well, one more thing about Bill Skarsgård and his paint and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The costuming and the prosthetics and everything were based on a digital painting that Robert Eggers did.
Mm.
Which you don't hear a lot of Robert Eggers or the director doing their own art.
Yeah, direction. That's interesting.
Multi-talented guy, Dr. Eggers.
Doctor now, huh?
Well, remember like 5 or 6 episodes you actually called him Dr. Eggers?
So I forgot about that.
Perpetuating the joke. You know?
Give the man an honorary doctorate. They give those things out like candy. He deserves one, I think.
Yeah. What? Who?
He deserves one.
Oh, I thought you said somebody else had one.
Oh, lots of people have them.
I thought you said Kanye had one. And I was like, why the fuck would he have one? And
he probably does.
Yeah, he probably does.
I'm literally telling you, anybody can get one. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. I want one. Give me one. What did I do?
Yeah, I would like one.
Yeah.
I haven't earned it, but I want one.
I don't think most of the people who have gotten one have.
That's true.
Anyway, can we talk about the rats now?
One last thing. Can I say one last thing about the prosthetics?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for being so kind about it. for the final scene, there's blood just pouring out of Nosferatu. If you look close enough, it's kind of hard to tell because it's dark. But
dark.
His back holes his eyes, his ears. There's just blood pouring out of every orifice. And Dr. Eggers said that they even had it coming out of his anus. Like, they had rigged it up to do that. And then they decided that that was not as emotionally effective. So, direct quote, he said, they literally put a cork in it.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
So, like, to reiterate, poor Bill Skarsgård.
Oh, dear. I mean, it wasn't in his.
No, it wasn't, but still.
The costumes. Oh, dear.
The fact that the costume had a butthole, like, I don't think you needed that.
Yeah, why did you? Well, to make the blood come out of it.
They probably created it for that scene.
For the blood.
For the blood.
Yeah. I did notice the blood.
Yeah.
I think Robert Eggers does a really good job lighting unlit movies.
Yeah. I feel like he uses natural lighting well.
Yeah. I think we talked about The Witch. He uses very little, if any, at all.
Yeah. Which I think this film did it light. A little bit better than The Witch. Like, there were a few scenes in The Witch where I was like,
yeah,
what's happening here? This one, I feel like I didn't have that.
Yes.
So he's getting better. All right. Now we can talk about the rats.
Okay. Well, the rats.
Yeah.
It's very unclear how many rats there were. Just based on how many interviews there have been of them talking about the rats. I think the person that I trust the most about the rats is Willem Dafoe.
Because he loved them.
Every interview, yes. He loved them. He talked about them. He brought them up and how great of scene partners they are and how much he loved working with them. So I trust him the most. He said 2,000
rats. Well, he said he worked with 2,000 in that one scene.
Oh.
So I don't know if that's overall, but he said it that one scene he worked with 2,000, where I'm assuming it's when he's setting fire to everything, since it's his scene and he was the only one really in that one. So
totally, yeah. Nick Holt said 8,000 in one interview. He said 5,000 in another interview.
Yeah, there's just been so many. I literally wrote down inconsistent amount of rats used. Consistent, Willem Dafoe's love of the rats.
So true.
That was the two things I was getting from every interview.
Yeah. They also, everybody complained of the smell too, which you can imagine.
Yeah. As someone who grew up with lots of mice, actually, I know exactly what smell they're talking about.
Yeah. Not to like one up your mice, but I worked for a reptile zoo for a hot minute and you feed reptiles rats and mice. So they had like the room of the smell. Just terrible. It is terrible. They do smell.
Yeah. We bought our mice from the pet store to try to save them. They said, they were feeder mice.
Yeah.
And they said, it's two boys. It was not two boys. And then we had basically a mouse farm for a couple years where we bred mice. We sold them back to the pet store. So kind of counterintuitive to the point that we wanted to make in the first place. But here's the thing. We would sell back all of the like brown and black ones or like calico ones. Mm-hmm. And we would keep the white ones because we knew that they were going to – those ones are the ones that mainly go to the feeders because they're uglier. So we would keep the white ones and then sell back the cute ones.
Yeah.
So I like to think that our mice got good homes.
Yeah, I would hope so.
I really hope. They took them back for $1 each, and then they had to stop because we were giving them too many.
Oh, my God.
They breed very, very quickly.
How did you end it all? How did it end?
We ended up selling some. Well, we sold them to them, and then we were able to, like, separate them enough so that, like, we had, like, little cages for each of them. Mm-hmm. Not little. They were pretty big. So we sold enough that we were able to have cages for individual ones so that we could separate them so that they'd stop breeding. Nice. And then we just had mice.
Wow. So fun.
Yeah. It was great.
I've never kept rodents.
We had gerbils. We had mice. We had guinea pigs. We had rabbits. Rabbits are rodents, right?
Yeah.
And we had one hamster who was made of evil.
Yikes.
I hope he's doing well. He's dead.
I did have a guinea pig. I lied. I forgot they're rodents.
I liked the guinea pig. The guinea pigs were my favorite. And well, the mice I really liked too. They were very sweet.
Yeah.
But so were the guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Anyways, the rats on this film, they named them in Latin sets of 10 to keep track of them.
Cute.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They had little names.
Wow.
Yeah. You're welcome for that one. Just for you.
I love that. Yeah, I Dylan and I went back and forth after we saw this about whether or not they were CGI, and it doesn't sound like many of them were, if any.
Crazy. Yeah, it feels like a lot of them were there.
At least 2,000.
At least 2,000.
And maybe even up to as many as 8,000.
Maybe. We'll never know for sure.
Yeah, I guess
Rat handler who worked on Nosferatu, yeah. Please reach out to us.
Right? They did a really funny interview. Nicholas Holt and Graham Norton did a really funny interview about that. Like, how do you find that many rats? Especially because a lot of them were trained.
Yeah.
And like you just said, a lot of them were named. So like, do you just like call like, hey, do you have 5,000 rats?
In Hollywood, yeah, probably.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is that the store that I worked at, the reptile store that I worked at, was in Yorba Linda, California, and they provided a lot of bugs for movies, crickets and roaches and tarantulas and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It was fun.
Anyways, more about things that may or may not be CGI. Was that a good segue?
Sure.
Cool. I didn't think too hard about it.
Clearly.
Anyways, thank you. No, a lot of the shadows that they did. Lots of shadows in this movie.
So many.
Yeah, a lot of it was practical. True, yeah. And Eggers even said, if they could figure it out in 1922, like, we can do it now.
Yeah.
And he said that was kind of an interesting aspect of filming, of finding the right angles for things and stuff. Mm-hmm. However, the iconic shot of Nosferatu's hand, like the shadow of his hand going over the city, mm-hmm. CGI.
Well, yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. That one feels like the easiest to figure out. You just build a miniature city and then do it. Like, that feels so easy.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, of all the ones that you had to, like, work out, that hand coming up and unlocking the door and all that stuff, like, that seems more complicated than a hand going over a city. Like, that feels easy.
Yeah. But, I mean, would it be more expensive to build an entire city?
Maybe, but I would like to see it.
Yeah. Well, what was CGI about it? Was the shadow CGI, the city, or was the city CGI?
He talked about the city being CGI, so I don't know if that meant everything was, but I would assume it seems more difficult to do a shadow over CGI because it'd have to move with the buildings and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right.
So I feel like it was probably all CGI.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, you're so right.
What do I know?
Not much, but I'm just kidding.
Can I
feel like we know a lot. You know more about movies than I do.
I do love the movies.
In this season of unemployedness, I've really thought about just working part-time in a movie theater, but none of them will hire me.
Yeah, my movie theater is not hiring either.
Well, it's not that they're not hiring, it's just that they won't hire me.
Oh, well, they're probably like, too qualified, you know what I mean? Which I never understood. If I'm applying for the job, it means, like, I would like to work here.
Yeah.
Regardless of my qualifications.
Well, I apply to some job just because I'm desperate, but...
Yeah, who isn't these days? Am I right, ladies?
Feet Finder be looking real good right now. Just kidding, I would never.
I would.
I might.
If people would buy my feet pics, I would sell them. 100%. If you're listening to this and you would like to buy my feet pics, hit me up. I'm open for commish, babes.
Oh, shoot. Willem Dafoe and Robert Eggers have worked together in the past on three. Watch.
He's only done four movies.
You're right. And he was not in The Witch.
Yes, he was in
Watchman, Northman, The Lighthouse, and Nosferatu.
Yes.
And in one interview, the interviewer asked Robert Eggers and Willem Dafoe, you know, what does the next Willem Dafoe and Robert Eggers picture look like? And Willem kind of looks at Robert like he's got a secret or something. So Robert lets Bill that literally 2 weeks ago from today, it would have been, because it was a week prior to when the interview happened, which was a week ago. Mm. Robert Eggers approached Willem Dafoe about two potential roles. And the only film that we are pretty sure is happening with him, I don't think it's like confirmed, I think it's mostly rumored, but it's been rumored by good sources, is the remake of Labyrinth.
Yes.
The David Bowie movie, which could be interesting to see Willem Dafoe in that movie. And then he's always said that The Witch and The Lighthouse are part of a trilogy, like a folklore trilogy.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So there is sort of that third unknown folklore movie that maybe he's starting to think about.
I would like to see it.
Yeah.
With
Willem Dafoe.
Yeah. I like Willem Dafoe. And I think one of my favorite things about watching him in this movie was it was so clear that he was having the time of his life. Yeah. Like, he was enjoying every moment of that movie.
Yes.
And you could just tell, not because he was like, you know, not taking it seriously, but like it radiated off of him. Mm-hmm. And I also think Aaron Taylor Johnson was having a great time too. Just
yeah.
Both of them just seemed like they were living every moment.
Yeah.
And I liked that a lot.
Yeah. He did look like he was having a good time.
Yeah.
And in the press too, the press junkets he was doing, he was having a grand old time.
Yeah. I think all the cast was, they were having some nice little laughs.
Yeah. We haven't talked about Lily Rose Depp at all.
Oh, that's true.
She was great too.
She was very committed.
Yes. None of her body work was CGI. That was all completely unaided by special effects. No wire work. She did some weird shit, too.
Yeah.
Convulsing, back bending and hovering and eyes rolling to the back of her head.
Yeah.
Drooling.
Yeah. It definitely would be quite a role to take on. And you have to be committed for it. So I'm glad she was. Yeah. It would not have been good if she had half-assed it.
Yeah, she did a great job.
Yeah. Which apparently originally Anya Taylor-Joy was supposed to have her role. Which makes sense. They worked together and...
Yeah.
She has that look about her.
Yeah.
She can do period pieces, you know? Not everybody can do period pieces these days.
Yeah.
People got Instagram face. You know who was supposed to play
Thomas?
Yeah. Harry Styles.
Can you imagine?
No, I really can't. And I'm not, that's nothing to say about Harry Styles. I think he's a fine actor. And I trust Robert Eggers. So clearly if he cast him, it's because he saw something.
Yeah.
I can't picture it in my head right now. Mm-hmm. But that's because when I picture Dracula's assistant, it's Nicholas Holt, period, at this point. So yeah. He's done it twice. That's his role now.
Yes.
But yeah, they both dropped out. Because this movie took like 9 years to get made. It was a long time.
Yeah.
And at the original point, before Harry was cast, I think even, Bill mm-hmm. Skarsgård had talked to Eggers. And he was supposed to play Thomas.
Yes.
And then they talked about maybe Harding. And then it got shelved. 10 years later, Bill Skarsgård sees that the movie's getting made. He reaches this. He's like, Eggers, hello. We're doing this, right? Eggers is like, I cast Nicholas Holt. As Thomas. And he's like, okay, great. Harding? He's like, I cast Aaron Taylor Johnson. And he's like, okay. So I guess Bill Skarsgård wrote a very passionate letter being like, oh, hey, no. I need to be in this. Like, I read mm-hmm. the script already. I need to be in it. What's going on here? And Eggers was like, what about Count Orlok? And Bill Skarsgård said, he just goes, what about him? And that was the right choice.
Yeah, it really was. Well, because really he originally was. Read for Frederick is who he originally read
yeah.
for.
Yeah. And then he got Eggers cast. Was like, you can maybe that's it. Yeah, that it was switched.
Yeah.
But.
And then they switched it and yeah. Bill Skarsgård yeah. like, Thomas? Can I be Thomas? No. Frederick? No.
Orlok.
Every time we say Orlok or every time I read Orlok, I just think Olaf.
Yeah. It kind of looks like him.
The snowman from the children's movie?
Oh.
Who are you talking about?
Count Olaf.
From a series of unfortunate events. That's why I think that, because his name is Count Olaf. That's why I think that. Not because the fucking snowman. Oh, thank you for putting that connection together in my brain.
The fact that in my mind there is one Olaf you could have possibly been talking about.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, of course, Count Olaf. Why? Like, who else?
No, you're so right. That's where I was. I don't know why I was thinking of the snowman, but I couldn't get Olaf out of my head. I was like, why is this making me think of Olaf? That's why.
That's why.
Count Olaf. Man, that really underrated film, that one.
The Jim Carrey one?
The series of Unfortunate Events with Jim Carrey, yeah.
Oh, see, I think the series did it a little bit better.
Oh, I didn't watch the series.
Oh, it's pretty good. Every episode is a book.
Oh, smart.
So you get a little bit more of it. Because the thing I didn't like about the movie was that it was three books crammed into one.
Yeah.
It was too much.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Some of the casting choices, fantastic. But pacing-wise, no.
It was very fast, yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked it. Maybe I'll watch
it. I liked it too, until the show came out. And then I was like, oh, wait, this show's kind of cooking.
Okay, maybe I'll watch it. It didn't come out that long ago, huh? In the last 5-10 years.
Yeah, not super long ago.
Because the movie came out like 20 years ago.
Don't say things like that.
Easy. It came out when we were in middle school. That's like 25 years ago.
I was not in middle school in 1990, first of all, which was 20 years ago. I'm kidding. Can you imagine?
Oh my God. Some people still think 1980 is 20 years ago.
That's a little much.
Yeah.
Be realistic about your delusions, people.
Yeah, please. At the very least. Anyway, I was surprised to see a fun fact about Christopher Columbus.
Great.
The producer and director.
Yeah, it's like not the man.
Yeah, the director. But he was a producer on this film.
He was.
And he was terrified. He wouldn't go anywhere near Bill Skarsgård when he was in costume, which I think is really funny.
Yeah.
He's not really known for scary movies. He's known for Harry Potter. That's about it.
And Home Alone.
And Home Alone.
Yeah. Christmas movies.
Yeah.
I
thought it was him that's making the Odyssey remake, but it's Christopher Nolan that's making
it. Yeah, Christopher Nolan, not. Yeah. But yeah, that's true. I guess Bill like cracked a joke and that's when Chris Columbus was like, oh, never mind. He's not scary. Yeah.
That's Which how is we fun. Won over the kids in It.
Exactly. I'm just saying, I hate to shit all over Jared Leto, but I'll do it. What did you say that one time? If he was close and his mouth was open? Yeah. That was the most out-of-pocket thing you've ever said on this show, by the way.
That was my favorite thing I've ever said. That was great.
I think about it constantly. But anyways... Yeah, but like that whole bullshit of like, oh, I'm playing a dark, evil character. I have to send my coworkers dead rats and use condoms. Go fuck yourself, first of all.
That's weird.
Second of all, don't ever look at me again. And third of all, that's why people like Bill Skarsgård are superior, because they play these crazy characters, get completely lost in it, and they don't ever sacrifice the comfort of their coworkers.
Yep. I agree.
Maybe you're just not a good actor, Jared Leto.
Stick to singing. You were good at that for a minute.
Stick to leaving. Yeah. Get out of here.
Oh, shit. Running your cult or something. I don't know.
No, don't do that. Just leave everyone alone, please.
Ay. I didn't even know there was a 1979 version of Nosferatu.
There's 800 versions of Dracula, period.
Yeah. Well, Nosferatu specifically, though, there was a 1979 version. And the castle they used in that one was the same castle they used in this one, the Pernstein castle.
Yes. They used like 9 different castles in this, too.
Yeah.
Every fun fact was just they used this castle, and it's a different castle than the last fun fact.
Oh, my God. They used all the castles.
They used every castle.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, I think like Dracula Nosferatu, it's the same thing. Like, they literally ripped it off. That was the whole point. The only reason that the sunlight kills him is because that didn't happen in Dracula. And F.W. Murnau was like, oh, this is how I'll get away with it. Anyways, so yeah, same thing. This is the same thing.
Should we talk about SpongeBob?
Absolutely. After you.
Okay, well, that is where I heard about Nosferatu the first time, is on SpongeBob as a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did know of him from that. But we found the story of why Nosferatu was included in that episode of SpongeBob, if you want me to tell it.
Yes, please.
Okay, well, everybody knows that episode. We know and love it. It's the hash-slinging slasher episode. SpongeBob thinks that all these mysterious things happening around the Krusty Krab and Squidward, too, think that it's from the hash-slinging slasher. It turns out to be some kid looking for a fry cook job. He's got a spatula in his hand, and it was just a trick of the lighting. Anyway, but one mysterious thing that isn't explained is the lights flickering on and off. The kid wasn't doing the lights flickering on and off. Originally, that was supposed to be a joke about a guy called Floorboard Larry, who just lives in the floorboards of the Krusty Krab.
Incredible.
Yeah, which I wouldn't have minded.
I would have loved that.
Yeah, it would have been fun to have another character. But Jay Lender was the writer of that episode. He didn't think that it worked. And they didn't really have the time they needed to set up the character.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought back to when he was a kid, he used to read these magazines called Famous Monsters of Filmland. And in most of those prints, there was that picture of Nosferatu where he's like in the doorway with his hand kind of out.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it into SpongeBob. And it just that image just sort of stuck with Jay over the years. And he's like, that's going to be my scapegoat. That's who's going to be flickering the lights.
And it's now, iconic, really.
Yeah, it's a recurring gag on the show. That's how most of us millennials, at least, know of Nosferatu. I mean,
yeah, I think that's definitely a lot of our first introductions to the character.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I miss Floorboard Larry. I just met him, and I feel like I've known him.
Yeah.
Also interesting that they were going to have two Larrys.
Well, that's another reason it is probably.
Yeah.
They're Lobster Floorboard Larry.
Lobster Floorboard Larry.
Larry Lobster's in the first season, right? Because this episode's in the second season.
I think so. I genuinely couldn't tell you what of the seasons are.
Yeah, no way.
I remember episodes and that's it.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, all of the most iconic episodes are in season one and season two. Like,
that checks out.
Yeah. That show fucking slapped.
That show was so fucking good.
It was so good.
Yeah.
I remember at one point in my childhood, I wanted to write comic books. And I don't remember what, I don't know if I was like reading a book that told me to do this or what, but they're like, you need to take an idea and sort of make it your own, which is very much like Lord of the Rings to Harry Potter. And like, they're identical. And I was like, okay, but I took it a little bit more like literally. And so my character was Pizza Bill. SpongeBob SquarePants, Pizza Bill Triangle Shorts was the character that I created for my comic book.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Can't believe it didn't get published.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to read it.
I don't have it, or else I would.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I think Patrick Starr was in it also.
Just straight named Patrick Starr.
Straight up Patrick Starr. Yeah.
Not even like...
No.
Robert Circle or anything. Damn. The copyright goes crazy.
Like Timu SpongeBob.
I have two more fun facts. How many fun facts do you have left?
I have one.
Okay, great. I'll do one, you do one, I'll do one.
Okay.
Great. Look at us working this out live on air. Okay, one. Robert Eggers had a specific lens filter that, like, he had a glass company commission specific lens filters for filming that basically made it look like black and white, but would let in one or two colors. So that's how he achieved a lot of the look of this movie. Because, like, brother hates color.
Yeah, he really does.
Despises it. But, but yeah, so mainly we see the ones with, like, the blue light coming in or the orange light coming in. Like, those were the two that I think he used the most, obviously.
Yeah.
But I thought that was really interesting.
Totally.
Commissioning his own little filters. Very smart.
The one scene that really stuck out to me as, like, a turning point in the color of the film was when Nicholas Holt's character is running towards the camera and the sun's rising.
Yeah.
That was like, oh my God, there's color, finally. And right? Which makes sense because he's dying. Nosferatu's dying. I thought that was really kind of a poignant, kind of beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, now there's color because this, like, evil is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. My fun fact was that the wolves were actually Czech shepherds.
Cute.
Yeah. And they didn't really mind Bill Skarsgård in his costume. They were kind of buddies. Because they were worried about that. They were worried that the dogs were going to be like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. If they sense off vibes, they're not into it.
Yeah. They were buddies, though.
Yeah. I did see one interview of Nicholas Holt talking about his scene. Because he said he was like, in the corner kind of amping himself up because he's supposed to be running. So he was like running in place and getting all sweaty for the scene. And he said he just looked over and that was causing the dogs to get riled up too. And he just thought for a moment, what happens if I don't outrun them?
Like, yeah.
But yeah, my final fun fact was in an interview, Robert Eggers was asked which adaptation kind of influenced his, or did he feel was like the most important to his adaptation. Mm-hmm. And he said, funnily enough, that it was Mel Brooks's Dracula Dead and Loving It, which was a parody about Dracula. Because he said it showed all of the things that were very like silly and ridiculous in the story that didn't really make a lot of sense. And so he was able to kind of correct course on those things. So one of the examples he gave was when Thomas is at the village before he goes to the castle. And in the Mel Brooks version, everybody's like, don't go in there, Orlok's evil, you know, don't. And he's like, I'm going to go anyway. And so he's like, obviously, I wanted them to speak Roma and have these Roma people, you know, not speaking a language that Thomas understands. That way they're giving him these warnings. But he doesn't listen because he can't understand them.
Yeah, so makes sense.
I thought that was a very smart way to go about it.
Yeah.
And interesting.
Oh, Mel Brooks.
Oh, Mel Brooks.
You silly. I don't know how he got away with some of the shit that he got away with.
It was a different time.
Fucking Blazing Saddles, dude.
I've never seen that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I can imagine.
I don't know how he convinced people to say the things that they say in that movie. It's funny, though.
Oh, great. Well, maybe that's how.
I guess.
Art is getting away with it, you know?
Yeah, honestly.
That's the problem these days. Comedians are always like, we can't be offensive anymore. Yes, you can. You just have to be fucking funny.
Yeah.
It's Always Sunny has been doing it for fucking years.
Yeah.
That show is wildly offensive. It's also fucking hilarious. That's why they get away with it.
Yeah. You shouldn't be offending anyone.
No, but I think the point of that is, like, these characters are, like, so terrible, and they never win, and that's the whole point. It's, like, we're not advocating it. We're showing that, like, these shitty people suck, and it's funny because they suck so bad.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's my commentary on Matt Rife.
Oh, I hate him.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, he's just mean to be mean, like.
He's not funny.
He's not funny at all.
That's the problem.
Anyway.
Should we rate it?
Yeah, let's rate it.
Okay.
How scary did you think it was?
I gave it a 1.5. Okay. I do think there were moments of tension. There were a couple, like, you know, creepy things in it. I do feel, personally for me, part of being scared is the unknown. Not knowing what's coming, not knowing what's happening. And because this was so faithful to the original, I didn't have a lot of that. I kind of knew what was going to happen. There was obviously some, I didn't know Harding was going to do that, but you know what I mean? Like,
Jesus.
That was wild, but not scary.
Right.
Well, kind of, but not in the way we're talking about.
Right.
What about you? As someone who's never experienced this story.
Yeah, I gave it 2.5. Yeah, it was dark. I thought Orlok was pretty terrifying. Nicholas Holt and Lily Rose Depp portrayed fear in a way that was very immersive. I think kind of the sorrow of Frederick was also really terrifying in its own way. That one scene where Orlok is just dangling the children was fucking wicked. Like, that was just evil. So yeah, I gave it 2.5.
Valid.
Yeah, that was absolutely fucking insane. I could not believe that scene was in there.
Well, yeah, we can get to that when we get to the fucked up score, but like, the fact that everybody was like, oh, Terrifier 3 kills kids, they don't show it on screen.
Yeah.
Even fucking Terrifier 3 did not show that on screen.
Yep.
How sexy did you think it was?
I can't imagine anything hornier than this movie. I really can't. Unless there were some tentacles involved. I think this is the sexiest movie there is. And Dylan, even, this is me talking about Dylan. I said I was going to.
Yeah.
He even walked out of the theater like, I'm fucking bricked, man. Like, it wasn't just me. I think people, if you're not coming out of this movie feeling something.
Someone described this movie as uncomfortably bricked up. So I'm glad that is exactly what your husband felt.
I don't even think he knows that we rate these movies on their like sexy factor. I don't think he knows that.
Yeah.
So the fact that he said it was like, you're not wrong. Yeah. Anyway, mm-hmm. I mean, there weren't any tentacles, so I gave it a 4.5.
Valid. Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
I give it a 4. This is a very sexy movie.
Yep.
They were not shying away from that at all. It was a central theme.
Uh-huh.
I do think that there were moments that were not so sexy.
Correct.
That took that rating down a little bit. Like, it's not pure sex, which is like Jennifer's body, right? Like, that's just sexy all the way through.
Yeah.
This had some moments, you know, a lot of pus, a lot of vomiting, a lot of that kind of stuff that I was like, all right, maybe not. But still a very solid, sexy rating. This is, yeah.
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 Yeah, just a vibe, you know? There's just a, it was something.
Don't think about it too hard now.
I'm trying. It's been 1 hour and 5 minutes of thinking about it. Well, how fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 2.
Okay.
This is pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Well, not pretty fucked up, I mean, but like definitely had moments of like very fucked up.
Yeah.
Again, the children thing.
Yes.
I wasn't, I didn't laugh when it happened, but there was definitely like a, oh, that came out of me when he threw. That was, I was like, all right.
It was a lot.
That was a very, the thud was crazy. Yeah. Anyways. So that was a bit much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Effective, though. And then, yeah, Harding, his final moments was a little fucked up. That was a little much. What about you?
Well, I gave it a 2.5.
Great.
I wanted to rank it higher just based on the one scene, the children scene.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I couldn't make myself do it. It was just the one scene that was not pretty, you know, basic.
Yeah.
But I still gave it 2.5 for that one scene because it was intense. The screaming. The screaming alone was so hard to listen to.
Yeah,
and
that was
just
rough.
You go into the room and you see him and just the like crackling noise. It's just nope. My mouth was agape.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2.5.
Fair. Overall, what'd you think?
I really, really liked this. It was so beautiful. Like there were, I put like a little like text review in our Discord.
I know, I'm excited to read it.
Yeah. You haven't?
No, I like to keep it a mystery. I did watch this and think Katie's going to love this, but I'm glad really I was right.
Yeah. But no, I even said like, it's a fucking beautiful film. There's scenes in it that I want framed in my home. Like the what's it called? Not a carousel. The carriage.
Oh yeah, that shot was
towards the castle. Gorgeous. The like last scene of Nosferatu and Ellen, kind of with the flowers, and
that's the last shot of the film.
Yeah, beautiful.
I was going to say, I want an oil painting of that.
Yes.
Like, just, that was a stunning final shot.
So beautiful. That's what I'm saying. Like, I want it framed in my home. I want it on my wall. Just a, like, beautiful film. So enjoyable to watch. I can see how it wouldn't be quite as, you know, effective for people who had seen the original because it was so similar and so true to the story. But and one thing I did say that I had a problem with, and on a second watch I didn't have as big of a problem. Okay, so two things. I did have a little bit of a hard time in the theater understanding Bill.
Katie, do you know what my Letterboxd review of this movie was?
What?
This movie would go crazy with subtitles. Right? I had no idea what he was saying. I was just enjoying the vibes.
Well, so that, and it kind of took me out of the movie a little bit. I was so desperate to know what he was saying.
Yeah.
And to be able to appreciate that he was speaking the way he was speaking and able to get those noises out of him. But I couldn't understand it. And the theater that we were at a Fat Cats, and I love Fat Cats, but the bottoms, the top subtitles were exactly flush with the top of the screen. The bottom subtitles were cut off. So we could only read the top half of the subtitles. So when anybody was speaking a different language, when Orlok was saying things in other languages,
you didn't get any of it?
We got a little bit, but it was hard to read.
Oh, so, that sucks.
Like between
I was almost like, oh, they're doing it when he's speaking a different language. Can you just do it all the time?
All the time.
I would love full subtitles all the time in movies.
Yes.
Please. I can't hear anything. I'm so sorry.
Well, they do that now. They do that now. They have
it's
subtitles.
It's usually like select showings, like at certain random times and stuff. Like it's not as normalized as I wish it was.
That's true. But anyway, on my second watch, I did have subtitles one way or another. And it was so much more enjoyable. But anyway, I did dock it for that. I did dock it for, you know, just it could have been a little more original. It could have gone a little harder, maybe, somehow. it wasn't like the perfect film, but it was by far my favorite film of 2024. I gave it a 4.5.
Solid.
Yeah, I really, really loved it. I cannot wait for it to come to VOD so I can watch it a bazillion times.
Yeah. Very fair.
Change my answer to 5.
Sometimes you must.
How about you?
This was not my favorite movie of 2024.
That's crazy.
I know. It stays. I saw the TV glow. It always will be. That I changed to a 5. Didn't even give it a 5 in our episode, and it has since become that. Surprisingly, this isn't even my favorite vampire movie of the year.
Monster,
which is also
monster,
crazy.
What's it called? Monster?
No. Humanist vampire seeking suicidal, consenting suicidal person.
Yeah.
Yes. It is really good. You guys should watch it. But anyways, regardless, it is a fantastic film. I think it's a great adaptation. Yes, I would love to have subtitles, but I do think maybe that's a me issue because I just can't. I don't have good hearing. I will watch subtitles on on Buffy, which I think I know every word to. So, but yeah, that I didn't really dock it for that. The only thing that I really docked it for was what I have already said, which is that I just wish that he had put more of himself in it. I'm fine with the levels of like brutality that's in it, or like the limits that he pushed in terms of gore and like shocking scenes. Like, that's fine, and that's where I feel like it shined. But again, just I think the parts that he added or changed were the best parts of the movie. I just wish I had seen more of that. Like, I really wanted Eggers to put his whole pussy into this, because he has proven himself to be a very intelligent, creative writer. And that's kind of more of what I wanted to see. But I still really enjoyed it. I think it's, again, beautifully shot, and I give it a 4 out of 5.
Nice.
Yeah. Solid rating, I think.
Wrong. I mean, it's 80%.
Okay, that's a very good rating.
It's B. Is this a B movie to you?
Okay, first of all, only in America is that the rating system. It's a good movie. It could have been a great movie.
It was a great movie. It could have been a perfect movie.
Fair. I'll take that.
And it might be a perfect movie. I just got to watch it a couple more times with subs. To your point.
Fair. Yeah. Would you survive?
No.
Yeah.
I'm giving myself to Count Orlok.
Yeah.
And Count Orlok. Olaf.
Both. Every count.
All of the counts.
All of the counts.
The creepy, lanky, child murdering counts.
Yeah. Yeah. Valid.
Yeah. Would you?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's not looking good.
No, it's not.
For women in this movie.
No.
Yeah, I do think I might be the type of person to call out to Orlok. I also would absolutely sacrifice myself for the people that I love, and also an entire town of people. I've lived long enough. Yeah. I'm fine. Yeah. So yeah, I think if it came down to, hey, everybody you love is going to die or else you're going to die, I'd be like, that's, yeah, we can go option two there. That's fine. Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. Next week we're going to talk about What We Do in the Shadows, but I think you already kind of know what that's about, right? I don't.
Yeah.
You don't need to predict it, right?
Yeah. I've seen this show.
Yeah.
It's more vampires.
Yeah. So when I made the schedule, we had not put Nosferatu on it, and then I kind of forgot about it, so.
Should we switch it with something? Like, on the fly? That's worked out really well in the past. Oh my god, on the fly?
Should we? Let me look at the calendar. We could switch it with, yeah, we could switch it.
Okay.
Do you want to switch it with something?
Yeah, I mean, I do really want to watch, you know, What We Do in the Shadows. I've never seen the movie.
We can just switch it so it's not two zombies right next to each other.
Vampire.
Why do I keep saying zombies? That's the second time I've done that. Do you want to switch it with Attack the Block?
Sure.
Okay, predict Attack the Block, JD.
Okay. Attack the Block is about a college town.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to have a party.
Yeah.
And then aliens come. And they attack the block.
The block party.
Yep.
Great.
And it's a little bit of a miscommunication film.
Mm-hmm.
Because the alien leader is like, you need to attack the block. So they go and they're like listening to the humans. And then the humans are like, are you coming to the block party? And the aliens are like, that's our target. Block party, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
And so they figure out when it's going to be and they attack it. And it's a college town. So it's like a lot of college kids and they're all drunk. So it doesn't go well for them.
Yeah.
But there is a, you know, motley crew of college students who are able to convince the aliens / attack them enough to where they don't finish their attack on the block. And then Great. They leave.
Amazing. They save the block.
They do.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, you should know it's aliens because I put the aliens in my hear me out presentation.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's not.
Is it really New York?
No, it's It's in England. It's in London.
Oh.
It's British, isn't it? Stars John Boyega.
Yeah. I like him. He's in Star Wars.
Yeah, but it's a tower block, not an apartment building. It's not a block.
Oh, because it's in England and they call
it's in England. Yeah. Yeah. We'll do a little alien movie. Why not?
Okay. It's not like we just did one.
Did we just do one?
I mean, we did The Faculty.
Oh my god, that was ages ago.
That wasn't that long ago.
Okay. Well, you made me switch it on the fly, so I could only do so many.
Okay. I'm into it. I like aliens.
All right.
It's really the only thing that this movie was missing.
That's true. The two are a perfect pairing together.
I'll give that one a 0.5.
Oh, great. Oh. I hope not.
We're not allowed to give 0.5s. We never did. I don't know why. If we're allowed to give a 4.5, I don't know why we aren't allowed to give 0.5. But one has always been our lowest rating.
I know. I once suggested we change it, and you said no.
I don't know why not, though. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine to switch it now if you'd like.
Yeah, okay. We can so start Terrifier, I'm looking at you. You're a 0.5 overall. Night Swim, you can stay at your 1 compared to Terrifier.
Oh, okay. Well, now we're going to have to go back to those re-rankings because you switched it up a little bit there, so.
Terrifier's not better than Night Swim. I do think about
anyways,
it all the time,
still. We're really yapping now.
Yeah, sorry.
It's fine. What else is a podcast if not for us to yap?
Yeah, honestly.
Cool. So next week we'll talk about Attack the Block.
Okay.
And we'll see you there.
Okay.
Then.
Thanks.
Not there. Like it's still here.
Yes, yeah, here. Then.
It's here, but then.
Then.
Exactly. Please and like and subscribe.
Please like and subscribe. Correct.
Please help. Help us.
Okay, that's all.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.